WFYI podcast brought to you by Bloomington, Indiana, an American college town offering food and drink, college sports, outdoor activities, live music, cool art, and good times daily. Everyone is welcome in Bloomington. More information at visitbloomington.com.
What we're going to do right here is go back, way back, back into time.
This is Butch Slaughter, and you're listening to the Echoes of Indiana Avenue. Welcome to my neighborhood, the Avenue. I grew up here, and each week I'll be sharing the sounds and stories of the people that made the Avenue great. Welcome back to The Avenue. On this week's show, we'll be featuring an hour of words and music with the vocalist Joy Upton. Joy had a notable career in the Indianapolis soul scene. From the 1960s to the 1980s, Joy performed with some of Nuttown's most legendary musicians, and Joy was a member of important Indianapolis girl groups, including the Florells and the Lovely Shades of Brown. Sadly, those groups never recorded, but in 1979, Joy was featured on an album by the Naptown Vibes player Billy Wooten. That record was titled In This World, and in recent years, the album has attracted an international cult audience. We'll be sharing some music from that album during this week's show as Joy shares her memories of working in the Naptown music scene. We'll start this week's show with the opening track from Billy Wooten's In This World. This is Somebody's Calling My Name.
Somebody's calling my name. Somebody's calling my name. Down by the riverside, somebody's calling my name.
That was Billy Wooten with Somebody's Calling My Name. That track featured Joy Upton on vocals, and Joy is our guest this week. She recently spoke with WFYI's Kyle Long. They discussed her early years in Indianapolis and the influence of her brother, Lacey Smith, a vocalist with the PhDs. Let's join their conversation.
I know you went to Shortridge High School. I think you did. Can you tell me a little bit about where you grew up in Indianapolis and where your family was living?
Oh, I grew up in Indianapolis. I guess you would call it the Near East Side, around 29th and Capitol, actually. Capitol Avenue is where we were raised. There were nine of us. I had six brothers and two younger sisters, and I went to Shortridge High School, and actually I went the first year that it became a college, I guess, what do you call it?
Preparatory?
College preparatory school, because I graduated in 1970. Mm. And at Shortridge, I was in the orchestra. I was a cheerleader. Did the regular high school thing. And actually, when I was in high school, we had something called in our junior year, we did a stage production. Mm-hmm. And I got my first opportunity to really sing during that production. I met a good friend, Martha Jones. She's a local musician still there today. I met her in high school along with her sister. And we were all in orchestra together, and we won a talent show.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about this. The group was called the Fabulous Florells?
Yeah, we formed the group when we were in high school, and we had to have been pretty good to have won the talent show, and the prize was an audition at Motown. And so that was my first ever time on an airplane, and we went up and we did our audition at Motown. But of course, as they say, we didn't go on to be a fabulous group or anything. I think they were looking for a local or solo artists at the time. Hmm. But it was an experience for young people, and that kind of set our music careers into a positive direction, I guess you would say.
That's incredible. And I wanted to ask you about that. I think it was an NAACP-sponsored talent show. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. And you actually flew to Detroit to audition for Motown.
We actually flew to Detroit to audition at Motown.
Were you at the Motown studios? Do you remember any details about the...
Yes. We were at the Motown studios. And we actually we auditioned for Berry Gordy's father.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. And...
How excited were you? I mean, that's
very, very excited. Yeah. And so then they actually had us audition as a group, and then they had an audition solo. Mm. And I only knew one song solo at that time, and that was the Isley Brothers, This Old Heart of Mine. So you know how long ago that's been.
Yeah. Great song, though.
Yeah, it was. It was. But it was an experience. Actually, that's kind of what, set me off with my love of music, in addition to my big brother, Lacey, being in the local group called the PhDs.
Mm. And I wanted to ask you about that. You mentioned you had 9 brothers and sisters?
Nine of us. I had 6 brothers and 2 sisters.
Okay. And your brother, Lacey, as you mentioned, was very successful with the PhDs. Were any of your other siblings performing?
One of my brothers played the bass guitar. And Eugene Smith, and he played locally for a while, too, with several groups. Lacey was a singer. He was my inspiration. The PhDs, I think they cut a 45 called, and I think the lead song was Swells My Desire. I remember listening to their harmonies. They were a Temptation-style group, and they were comprised of... Paul Middlebrook, Mike Brown, Leonard Harding, they called him Twine, I think. I think they were the original members, including my brother. And I would listen to them practice, and I just wanted to be just like them, I guess.
That's awesome. Yeah, I interviewed Paul a few years ago, Paul Middlebrook, and he told me they started out singing together in the bathroom at Crispus Attucks High School.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. Did your brother go to Shortridge or Attucks?
He went to Shortridge.
Okay.
Yeah.
They made a record for LAMP, a local soul music label. What did you think about that at the time? Did you feel like they'd made it to the big leagues?
Well, I thought it was good, and I thought that was, they toured a little bit, and I just, thought that set them off in the right direction.
Let's pause and listen to 2 tracks featuring Joy Upton's brother, Lacey Smith. From 1971, this is the PhDs with It Swells My Desire and The Way It Used to Be, released by LAMP Records.
Kisses so sweet. Swell my desire.
fingertips. I think of you all you can be. Darling, don't pretend I know what you have for me. It's gone. And I can't help but think about the past.
That was the PhDs with The Way It Used to Be. Our guest this week is the vocalist Joy Upton. Her brother, Lacey Smith, was a founding member of the PhDs. Let's return to our conversation with Joy Upton as she discusses her work in the Naptown soul scene.
The group with that I had, the Floreos, with Martha, she's still performing there locally.
Really?
As a pianist and vocalist. But we were in high school together, and she was an accomplished pianist and vocalist, and her sister as well. And we hit it off, and then we went from there to other venues, and we went on to meet and work with many other talented local artists and musicians. And that's how I became a member of the group called the Lovely Shades of Brown. And that's comprised of myself, Barbara Martin, Brenda Simmons, and Martha Bonds. And our backup band had a rhythm section comprised, just to name a few people, Rodney Stepp, Bill Simmons, and Jay Majors. And Brenda was the sister of Bill Simmons. And Bill is now with Midnight Star. And, of course, Rodney Stepp went on to tour with the Spinners and be a success in his own right.
So it was the Diplomats band, basically, that was backing up your group.
Yeah, basically,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah? What's the humbug?
Oh, man, you ain't never heard the humbug.
Man, I'm still on the twist, man.
Oh,
come on.
Man, how foul can you get?
Man, I'm about to foul the tunnel, you know?
Yeah, I hear
it.
So it was really interesting because we would practice at Bill Simmons' mother's house. And I often told him his mother had to have the patience of Job to have a house full of young people with singing and music and that kind of thing. And she was a beautiful woman, and she would just watch us and smile. So I always admired that. After that, I went on to sing locally. I mean, I'm sorry, solo with the Al Walton Trio.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of fostered my love for jazz. And Al played the Hammond organ, and we had a drummer and a guitarist. And we played a lot of gigs and also Top 40. So I was with Al for a pretty good while. And then I went on to sing with Billy Wooten,
mm-hmm.
another local musician, and who played mostly what he called jazz and funk. So through the 1980s, working with Billy is where I met many other musicians, including Steve Weekly, Larry Clark, and Steve and Larry still perform today, is my understanding. They do a lot of jazz still. And in my opinion, Steve is one of the best jazz guitarists since Wes Montgomery. I always admired his playing.
Let's pause and listen to a classic track Steve Weekly recorded with Funk Incorporated from 1972. This is Funk Incorporated with The Better Half.
Thank you.
That was the legendary Neptown band Funk Incorporated with The Better Half. Our guest this week, vocalist Joy Upton, performed with the band's guitarist Steve Weekly. Let's return to our conversation with Joy Upton as she discusses her work with the Indianapolis Vibes player Billy Wooten.
When you worked with Billy Wooten, when he would call you for a gig, you never knew who the sidemen were going to be. But one thing for sure, 95% of the time, you knew them because you had worked with them before, and everyone knew the tunes we would perform. We did a lot of work with Billy.
And Joy, you told me you recorded with Billy Wooten, and I looked back through my collection of his records, and you're on his 1979 album, In This World. Billy Wooten and his special friends. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you know that record is a cult classic now. It's been reissued in Japan multiple times. Original copies sell for hundreds of dollars. Did you realize this record had such a strong cult audience?
No, I did not. And thank you for letting me know and researching that.
Yeah, look it up. You'll see in Japan this gets issued and reissued over and over again.
Wonderful. Wow.
What do you remember about recording that album?
We had a lot of fun. Billy was easy to work with. And I remember when he was doing it, I actually had a copy of the album. But over the years, I don't know what happened with it. You know, when you move, things disappear. So thanks for letting me know that. I am certainly gonna order a copy.
Let's pause and listen to a track featuring Joy Upton and Billy Wooten from the 1979 album In This World. This is Dancing and Singing.
We're dancing and we're singing. We're dancing and we're singing. Dancing and singing, dancing and singing, dancing and singing our song.
Echoes of Indiana Avenue will return with more words and music from Joy Upton after this short break.
This is Butch Slaughter, and you're listening to the Echoes of Indiana Avenue.
Our guest this week is the vocalist Joy Upton. Joy had a notable career in the Indianapolis soul scene from the 1960s to the 1980s, Joy performed with some of Naptown's most legendary musicians, including Billy Wooten, Rodney Stepp, and Steve Weekly. And Joy was a member of important Indianapolis girl groups, including the Florells and the Lovely Shades of Brown. Joy recently spoke with WFYI's Kyle Long. Let's return to the conversation.
Enjoy a couple other groups I wanted to ask you about. I believe you were in a group with your brother and Paul Middlebrook called State of Mind. Is that correct?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Okay. Back then, some musicians merged with each other. So I was a part of a vocal group called State of Mind, which was comprised of my brother, Lacey, Paul Middlebrook, Barbara Martin, and Brenda Simmons. As I mentioned, Brenda was Bill Simmons' sister. So on the local scene back then, you know, many artists worked together, but we worked at several places, and I was trying to remember a place that we used to perform at on a regular basis, and someone said the place was called the Function at the Junction in the Meadows.
Yeah, that's the Function at the Junction. That was in the Meadows, and I think you also played at the Demonstrators Club a lot. Is that right?
Yeah. That's right. Most certainly did. Wow. boy, that just brings back wonderful memories. We were a really good group.
Why didn't the group ever record? Or Lovely Shades of Brown, some of these projects you're in. Do you have any idea why?
You know, I really, really don't know why. Divergent and, you know, people do different things, because we involved into a group that was called Onyx.
Onyx.
And a group that was called DeMax. And we played a lot of gigs back then. And with DeMax, I can recall, even though I don't drink, doing a large kickoff event for Stolichnaya. And it was a Russian vodka being introduced to the United States. So it was a big to-do, and we were the featured performers that day. So, and I also played several gigs with the Sinful Soul Ensemble.
I've heard of them, yeah.
Yeah, and that was comprised of Steve Weekly, Larry Clark, and the vocalist along with myself was Walter Webb. Remember him?
Yeah, he sang with the Highlighters.
And his brother Richard Corbin. And we also played over there at the function at the Junction.
Let's pause and listen to a track featuring Walter Webb on vocals. From 1970, this is Walter Webb and the Highlighters with Your Time Is Gonna Come. That was Walter Webb and the Highlighters with Your Time Is Gonna Come. Our guest this week, vocalist Joy Upton, performed with Webb in the Sinful Soul Ensemble. Let's return to our conversation with Joy Upton as she shares her memories of the Avenue.
And Joy, I know this was a little before your time, but did you ever have the opportunity to play at any of the clubs on Indiana Avenue or play at the Walker Theater?
We played at the Walker with my brother, and we did a lot of dances and things like that that were held there at the Walker. And I do have a fond memory of the Walker Theater. That was the first time that, and I guess I could say I might have been around 5 or 6 years old, when Madam Walker constructed the building so we'd have an theater to go to, and we wouldn't have to sit up in the balcony. We could sit on the first row, and or sit on the first floor, rather. And I saw the Ten Commandments there.
Wow.
And that is still my favorite movie today.
Wow.
So that is a wonderful memory. I was a little kid, but my mom took me there when blacks finally had the opportunity to sit on the first floor rather than the balcony in the theaters.
Did you ever go to any of the big Christmas shows they used to do there, where they would have local acts play all night long, the midnight Christmas concerts?
I have heard about them all night long. I was a little young and couldn't do the all-nighters, but I heard about it.
And you never had a chance to play at the Blue Eagle or the Place to Play or the British Lounge or any of the clubs that were kind of...
The British Lounge, most certainly.
You did? Okay.
Yeah.
Any memories of that? I know it was a very special place.
Not really, but that name just brings back memories of being there.
Yeah.
I was listening to some of the previous podcasts concerning the Avenue.
Oh, yeah, good. Thank you.
And I remember going to see the female impersonator.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
Any memories you could share of that, I'd be fascinated by. Yeah.
Candy Laverne.
Wow.
Candy was awesome. And I believe it was on 16th Street down there. There was a place near Methodist Hospital. There was a club that she would perform regularly at. And I remember going, and she was just awesome. She was beautiful and talented. Candy Laverne.
What was her act? Was she singing, lip syncing, dancing?
She would sing, and she would, it was kind of like she would sing, and then she would talk to the audience, and what do you call it? Roast people.
Okay.
Stuff like that. Yeah. It was great. It was really good.
You know, she was a headline attraction at clubs in Indianapolis for years. What was her personality that kind of made her so unique? Do you have any memories of kind of what Candy was like?
Yeah, because she was beautiful. Mm. You know, you knew she was a man, but she didn't look like a man. Mm. She was beautiful. And she had a beautiful personality, and it showed from the stage. So,
any other performers, the female impersonators that you remember from that era, or is that the main one that sticks with you?
That's the main one that sticks with me.
Did you perform with Candy, or you were just kind of in the audience, or were you on the same bill?
I was kind of in the audience rooting her on.
Yeah. In other facets of society at that time, artists like Candy wouldn't have been appreciated or accepted. Why do you think the female impersonators were so accepted on Indiana Avenue and in the black entertainment community of Indianapolis during that time? Do you have any thoughts on that?
That's interesting, isn't it? Because not only were they down there, I think up on 34th in Illinois, there was a club up there too. And they held regular shows for female impersonators. And they were shows that everybody went to. They were talented. They were entertaining. And you could go and feel comfortable. You didn't feel threatened or anything like that. Mm. So why in today's, and I think it's more political today, why they want to cast dispersions on female impersonators and different things, because, you know, with the recent things that have happened around their shows. But back then, we loved them. We loved them. And they were part of the community, too. Everybody knew them. So just like when you say Candy Laverne, everybody knew who that was. I don't know. We just felt comfortable going to see them. And yeah.
If you're just tuning in, our guest this week is the vocalist Joy Upton, best known for her work on Billy Wooten's 1979 album, In This World. Let's pause and listen to another track off that record. We'll listen to the album's most famous cut, a funky instrumental titled Chicango. Billy Wooten with Chicango off his 1979 record, In This World. Our guest this week, vocalist Joy Upton, was a featured vocalist on that album. Joy recently spoke with WFYI's Kyle Long. Let's return to the conversation.
When was your last involvement in music, or are you still making music today?
Well, actually, I'm making a different kind of music, gospel music. When I left Indianapolis, just before I left, we put together a family choir, gospel choir, because my father always said he wanted us to come together to do that. Well, my father was a musician. He played the Hammond B3 organ with the Smitty Trio, and he traveled the country. And when he came back to Indianapolis, we always talked about getting family back together as a gospel group, and we did that. Hmm. And we premiered here in Cincinnati at my church. Wow. It was 55 of us in the family, wow. And the group was called All in the Family.
That's amazing.
They came here to Cincinnati and performed, and my grandmother even performed. She was in her 90s. Hmm. So they performed for a while there after I moved here. So, and I'm still involved in my church and president of my choir and do gospel music. And from time to time, if people ask me to do weddings and different things like that, I'm happy to do that. So.
That's incredible. And you said your dad played Hammond B3?
Yeah, he did.
What was his name?
Bill Smith, and he had the Smitty Trio. And when he was here, he had here. When I say here, I mean Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. When he lived in Indianapolis, he did get to play with Wes Montgomery,
really?
And those types of people at the Hubbub.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah. So your dad was working professionally as a musician.
Oh yeah, he was. He was.
And Joy, I'm curious, just finally, how you kind of characterize this period of music in Indianapolis that you were a part of. You mentioned Brenda Simmons, who was in your group. Her brother Bill went on to co-found Midnight Star, one of the most successful groups of the 80s. And Kenny
certainly did.
Kenny Edmonds, Babyface, was also part of the scene at that time and became
He was a little younger than us, so he was an up-and-coming, And we were just... he brought the real music back, I think, in terms of ballads, mm-hmm. and love songs and those types of things.
Yeah, and you had groups here like Ebony Rhythm and the Vanguards making hits.
Yes, Ebony Rhythm.
Tell me about that era, just kind of how you look back on this and how you kind of characterize that period of Indianapolis history.
Oh, it was exciting. If you were a musician and you wanted to work, you could work. Because everybody was on the scene. And as I said before, everybody was interacting with everybody. You'd go to a gig and you'd see people from another, just like Greg Bacon played with us a lot of times on gigs. And there was a lot of music going on. People went out to different, they were holding several events that we could play at, parties. Huge events, and you did ask me about the Walker. Down there at the Walker Theater, we'll go down and we perform down there. So there was a lot to do, and it was an exciting time, and everybody knew everybody, and the musicians were all talented, and you didn't have a lot of people who couldn't play. I mean, you had to be talented to be out there. You weren't a part of a group if you weren't talented. So, these days there's a lot of good music, but you got a lot of synthesized different things. Back then it was real music. You really had to know your stuff then.
Our guest this week has been Joy Upton, a legendary vocalist from the Naptown soul scene. We'll end this week's show with one more tune from Billy Wooten's 1979 album, In This World. We'll hear the album's title track featuring Joy Upton on vocals.
You must feel that you have
That's all the time we have for this week. Thanks to our guest, Joy Upton, and thank you for tuning in. You can meet me here on the Avenue again next week, same time, same place. And you can find the Echoes of Indiana Avenue podcast on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you download your podcast. Echoes of Indiana Avenue is written and produced by Kyle Long and hosted and co-produced by me, Herman Butch Slaughter.
Nobody knows on uptown, baby, like I do. Nobody knows on uptown, baby, like I do. If you will stop and listen, I will tell you a thing or two.